In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Yo, 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 what's up, what's up, what's up? TMTH in the house. William Attorney represent, you better recognize, boy.
Yeah, I don't know what most of that meant.
I feel ashamed. I'm sorry. That was terrible.
What were all those little letters and stuff? What was that about?
TMTH, the Magical Talking Hat.
Oh, huh.
Getting that's, all badass. That's its street name.
That's very clever.
Twiglet, did Ezzy send you? No, you can't come up here. Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat, episode 8. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And Twiglet is nearby, but Esmeralda is waiting to pounce.
Very exciting. This is we've got a new website.
Yes, yes, we do. And I'm hoping that it's working. I don't really know.
That was kind of cool to go, you know, to a website that was just...
Did you try it? Does it work?
Yeah, it works great. Well, as far as I could tell, sure.
Okay. I can get it to work sometimes in terms of accessing... I mean, I can get there. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, like, playing the episodes or downloading or things like that, sometimes it doesn't work for me and sometimes it does.
Well, what does it do?
It just hangs forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh. And I'm a little bit nervous because I'm worried it's a time of day thing and I'm worried that our new hosting people get more traffic and things slow down or something. I don't know. I put out the call for friends of the show to go and test it and let me know. And apparently we just have one friend of the show. And that's Mark. And Mark actually tested some stuff before I even asked. So thank you, Mark. But other people, go check it out. We are now, for those who haven't been paying attention, we are now at themagicaltalkinghat.com. And it's our own site, and the files are getting hosted there. And it's really exciting, and it's costing me money, and it's costing me more money than I thought it was. Somebody just sent me an invoice today for an extra some money. But anyway, But we've got that, and it's all cool. And right now, if you go there, the site looks basically exactly the same as the old one. I didn't want to confuse people. And except at the bottom now, you can play it right there, and it stays in the same place. There's a little player right there and a download thing right there. So hopefully that'll work. For those of you on Podomatic, I'm sorry if that screws up your plans. I'm going to post this episode there still and on the old blog so people know. But after that, after episode 8... it's all going just to the new site, so work that stuff out. Those of you who are subscribing through FeedBurner and subscribing through iTunes should not notice any change. Anybody who does notice anything, please let me know any problems you have, because I'm still very new at this stuff. I have been working at this a lot and learning a whole bunch. It's kind of fun and kind of frustrating at the same time. So please email either me if you know my personal email, or if not, email the hat and I'll get it. themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com.
And Mark's tests were positive. I mean, he had a...
Yes, Mark had a problem with the old site being unable to subscribe correctly, mm-hmm. and now he can, so that's pretty awesome.
Yep.
And I haven't even set up any new RSS stuff there. I'm still going through FeedBurner, which I'm pleased about because I can't find a way to get download stats from this, whereas I could get it from Podomatic, and I just recently found out that FeedBurner has them, and I just never knew.
Oh.
The bad news is... they only start once you turn them on, so I don't have any stats on the old stuff. But starting from now, I should actually have at least some figure on what we're dealing with. So that's cool.
Very cool.
So, William, how has your week been?
Very productive.
I know. For those of you who don't know or didn't notice, William has fallen off the grid for, it's going to be like for a month, isn't it?
Yeah, for the whole month.
You didn't even see my witty retort to your announcement, did you? It's been very popular.
Oh, no, I didn't, but...
Because I was concerned because you didn't tell me, your podcasting partner, that you were disappearing from all mass media communication.
Well, except this.
And that, but you didn't say that.
Well, I would have told you.
I just got it on Facebook.
I would have told you.
There was a little bit of a panic and some homoeroticism thrown in there that was very popular and had a lot of likes on it.
Oh, really?
More so than your post, I believe.
Oh. Well, that's not surprising.
But yeah, no, a lot of people liked your post, I think.
Well, yeah, if...
It's like they want you to write or...
I guess if...
Just not talk to them.
I couldn't figure out if they were enthusiastic about me writing or not being around, but...
it's what we call win-win.
Yeah. But if the rest of the month is as productive as this last week has been, then I'll probably have... if I don't have the entire rough draft finished, I'll only have a few chapters to go, which
Wait,
will be fine.
You tried this whole week and you don't have the third book done? I figured you're going to do like a book a week.
No way. But it was very productive. I think it's going to be difficult. I kind of have a goal of a chapter a day, and by a day I mean I put in, you know, maybe 12 hours. So I'm just nonstop sort of focusing on it. And that, it's also, it's not like I'm just making it all up as I go. I have a fairly detailed outline, so it shouldn't be too hard to do that, except I'm noticing that as I'm working this week, I stop a lot with things that... I kind of have to think a little bit more about than I thought I would have to, you know, but the way things look or the way someone's dressed or, you know, the mood somebody's in.
Well, they're not, they're really black or not.
I don't know.
By the way, when you read William's first book, the female lead in that book is black. You might not catch that. I didn't, having read it three times before he mentioned, but there is a one point where he mentions the phrase dark skin or tan skin or something. Found out later, apparently black. No idea.
Well, I don't usually make a big deal out of, you know, the skin color of the people I'm writing about. I mentioned,
which is why you might not notice.
Yeah, so
William sees no color, and it's not a moral high ground position. It's actually a genetic defect, so don't make fun.
Actually, one thing that I don't mention in the first book that will be in the third one is the racial makeup of in the books. There's sort of a group of immortals, as you know, and
several of them.
And they have sort of a committee or a council, and I ignore completely the racial makeup of the council in the first book, but it'll be talked about a little bit more in the third one.
Also, little-known fact, Brian McCart, three testicles.
Yeah, I didn't know that one.
Haven't you read the series Bible?
No.
I put that together. Have you not seen that?
No, I haven't
okay.
seen it.
I got it. Man, you're probably way off canon with this third book.
Yeah, that must have been in the fan fiction or something, because I don't remember.
Yeah. Oh, man, we're going to have to talk, because, yeah. Okay. You probably have really screwed up the continuity for this.
All right. Well, you better let me know before the month's up, or else, you know, I might be in real trouble. Because I hate rewrites. You know that. I might not even do them. I might just make a rough draft and just send it out the way it is, and even know it sucks.
William, why is the third book on Post-its? Wait, if you hate rewrites, why did I have to read that first one so many damn times?
Well, I hate them, but
I read it three times, but the first two were before it was published.
Yeah. Well, I hate them, but I will do them because, you know, I am sort of putting this thing out there to be read. The two of the books are used in a class over in Massachusetts, so.
That's weird.
I want to make sure the third one is
It's good. Not like a what not to do kind
well,
of.
Well, I wonder if sometimes that comes up. I've actually talked to a couple of the classes myself, and they've asked some pretty interesting questions after reading the books. One class seemed to be interested in the third book, you know, anxious for to see what it was about. I actually got a few ideas from them as I was talking to them for, you know, what I'd put into it.
I don't know if I'm anxious. I'm very curious.
Well, I am too. I don't
know
how it's
I loved
out.
The first book, and I liked the second book, but it was a very different direction, the second book.
Yeah, it was.
And, I mean, I like it as a book, but just for personal taste, I like the first book more. The story I enjoyed more. Not that there was anything wrong with the second book. It just wasn't, you know, I enjoyed reading one more than the other. But they're both very good, and I'm very curious, since you seem to make this sound like it's going to be not a tie-up exactly, but a tie-together sort of, much more explanatory the way you've been describing the third book.
Yeah, I want it to stand on its own, of course. You know, if someone reads it, I don't want them to have a sense that, gosh, am I missing something? You know, or are there other books that I haven't read? Is this in a series? I don't want it to have that feel to it. But I also want people who have read the other two books to go, oh, I know what, you know, this is about, or I understand who that is. I know that person's, that character's background. It's a minor character in this book, but, you know, it was an important character in a different book. That kind of thing.
Oh, I didn't realize he had three testicles.
No, nothing like that. But the story is one where the events of the first two books are critical to the events in this one. Without anyone having actually to read the other two.
Because if there's nothing William hates, it's people reading more than one of his books.
Well, you know, of course I want them to read it, but it's a...
Dude, when you finally put this together, like, you need to have Volume 1, Volume 2, Volume 3, because that pisses us people off. I bought a fucking book just the other day. Very excited to read it. Look into it. It's the sequel to an earlier book. But they don't. There's not a series name, there's no volumes, and so I'm pissed off. And I won't read that book until I've read the other one, so I'm just sitting with that book.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do when I have it finished, because... Harbingers wasn't supposed to be a sequel, really, you know.
It didn't really, I mean, it felt like just another book in that universe.
Yeah.
But it was very good to have the background
right
beforehand.
So I often wonder if when this book is done, it's just the way I envision it coming out, if some people who read it, if they read the other two afterwards, they'd almost think the other two were written after. Just because the other two books almost read like prequels by comparison. But yeah, I don't know. Another thing I thought I would do is the first book needs some cleaning up.
Title.
Well, yeah, not just that, but that's one thing. But there's some mistakes I've noticed in the original printing, so I want to clean that up a little bit. I think the second one's fine, and maybe... publish the third one by itself, but also publish one that's got all three of them in it.
An omnibus, yeah.
Yeah, kind of thing. I'd also like to somehow publish the webcomic and maybe get a few other things out there. I mean, who knows?
You know what you need to do with Stuck? It has to be a spiral bound.
Well, maybe. Actually, there's...
No, it has to, so that when you read it, you can...
Oh, that's true.
I'm not giving it... You guys go see it, but then you'll see what I'm talking about.
But
there needs to be something creative with the binding to make that work.
You're right about that. But also, I've noticed some typos and stuff in that as I've gone through it. So that's going to be harder to fix because, you know, I took...
Because all those warriors are gone off to different worlds now.
I took these photos and then I put them in an actual comic creator... thing, and I don't even know if I have all those files because they're on a computer that's like dead, so I might have to actually, well, I don't know what I'm going to have to do, but that's something.
White out?
No, I mean, I'm going to have to, first of all, I'll have to find the software and put it on the other machine, and then I'll have to mock it up all over again, so there's only a few like that.
Just reshoot. You still got all the toys.
No, I'm not going to reshoot.
Come on.
I do have another webcomic I'm trying to get going. Did I tell you that?
No.
Yeah, there's I've got all of the stickfas for it and everything.
Oh, so it's another stickfa comic?
Yeah, another stickfa webcomic.
Awesome.
But what I need now is I'm gonna sort of create a better light box kind of setup, you know, to take the pictures in, and also I'm gonna use a different camera, so I have to work all of that out. But it's gonna be called the name of the comic is the name of the main character, which is Morley Gray. He's an assassin who's sort of rethinking his life. So I've got it all mapped out, and how it's also a limited run. It's not going to be like a permanent thing. And I don't think they're all going to be particularly funny.
The first set wasn't.
Yes, they were. I thought they were.
Not particularly.
I always got a chuckle out of them. So that's kind of in the pipeline, but I'm not sure when that's going to happen because, like I said, I kind of want to build a little rig to you know, take the pictures in. Because a lot of times, you know, the characters are sort of in the air and stuff. And that was a real hassle to shoot when we were first doing
it. Okay, throw it. Okay, hit the button, hit the button! Oh, damn, it fell down.
Sometimes it was just like that. Usually, though, it was a matter of using, you know, some kind of program to smudge out strings and things like that, which was not fun. So, I mean, we still might have to do that, but it would be a lot easier if we could control, you know, had a uniform color in the background, like a uniform green or white or something like that. So, and also, we didn't have them suspended from anything in particular. It was usually like I would be holding it in some really interesting way, and then the camera would be right underneath, and that was a real pain. But somehow we'll figure it out, and I'll shoot that here eventually.
You heard it here first, people. I'm not sure what, but I should say, because he is my friend, the stuff he talks about is more interesting than him talking about it. So check this stuff out. Read his books. Check out his comic. Do it, because it's better than it sounds. I've had a very exciting week as well.
Oh, good.
Thank you for asking.
I was going to.
Yeah.
I was.
It wasn't that exciting, actually, but it's mostly been not at work. Mm-hmm. I had to work Monday, and then I've had the whole rest of the week off till I start a new... I still am temping, so I'm starting a new temp job Monday. That's 20 feet down the hall from where my last one was. So this is my week to do all sorts of stuff here and relax and have fun. And Wednesday was very good. I was very productive. I mostly made the website. All that kind of stuff was great. Tuesday was like that. Wednesday and Thursday have come up against a little bit of a stop.
What do you mean?
Well, I spent a half a day babysitting. And I spent a day and a half with a very sick spouse.
Oh.
So I'm going to try and finish up all my plans tomorrow, but we'll see. But it was fun, though, because having my spouse here was cool, because when she wasn't asleep, we hung out and did stuff, and that was fun.
That is fun.
But, yeah, so things, the plan changed a bit, but we'll see. It's still good not to work. And then I got tomorrow, and then I still have a weekend. And actually, we're almost definitely, in fact, we are definitely going to see Thor tomorrow night.
Oh,
A bunch of us are going.
Is it out now or
tomorrow?
It's out tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, we're basically going to go to a crazy packed showing, but we already got the tickets. So,
do you think it's going to be any good?
Worth watching. Worth the cost of the ticket. Beyond that, I can't say. I mean, it's going to be a comic book movie, but it's going to be a really expensive comic book movie.
Yeah.
And those are usually worth at least the price of admission. Often not much more than that, but...
I like comic book movies. We'll probably go see it. I just always kind of... You know, even if it's a great movie, I can't help it but feel bad that, you know, there's all these Marvel movies out, but not so many DC movies.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
a huge DC fan, so it's kind of disappointing.
I'm a Vertigo fan, not so much DC... Hmm. Actual number, because I'm not a big superhero guy in general, is what it comes down to. And actually, I was really kind of bothered when I found out they were making this, because I always thought Thor was the worst idea for a superhero ever.
Well, that, come to think of it,
because I'm like, he's a god.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that Mitchell and Webb had this thing with a superhero team that was Angel Summoner and the BMX Bandit. And one guy could do all these badass tricks on his dirt bike, and the other one could summon hordes of angels. And so very frequently, the BMX Bandit just had to sit there while they summoned the angels and cured everything. And I've finally felt that with Thor. I've since found out there's more to the story, and he's a god, but he's sort of not a god at the same time.
Well, right, but...
Things happen.
But see, this is exactly what frustrates me about all the Marvel movies, is that they're making movies on... You know, some heroes that people who don't read a lot of comic books don't even know, you know, what would be considered even by Marvel fans as minor characters. I mean, they're just cranking them out, and they're...
Well, because we're going to make a big old Avengers movie.
Well, I know, but in the...
don't think Thor is that obscure, though.
Well, I'm not saying he is. I'm just saying that they're not
holding... Deadpool, on the other hand.
They're not holding anything back, is what I'm saying. Nobody's sitting around saying, gosh, you know... Thor, is that really a good idea for a superhero movie? They're just doing it.
You know why?
Well, why?
Two reasons. One, even crap like Wolverine origin thing makes buku money, so why the hell should they care?
Well, I agree.
But, second reason, they're now owned by Disney.
Yeah.
This is what Disney does.
Yeah, I know, but...
This is Disney's wet dream in that all their princesses are already made and have a reason for things to explode. They don't have to come up with new princesses or reasons to make it interesting.
But even before the whole Disney thing, you know, the Marvel folks are cranking out movies and the DC folks are wringing their hands. And it's really, I think, because the DC folks are sort of beholden to Warner Brothers and...
Yeah.
I don't know, Warner, you know, because you notice that the Marvel movies aren't all released by the same studio.
No.
It's obviously the Marvel folks, when they want to make a movie, if they have a studio giving them a hard time, they'll just go to a different one.
Yeah.
And, but no, Warner Brothers has to make the
Yeah,
DC
that's
stuff.
DC's problem, though. I mean, that's not Marvel's fault.
No, I know that, but I don't know. I just wish that, Warner Brothers would get out of the way and let them make some movies.
I feel a little bit better about it, though. I mean, because the recent Batman movies were good. I'm hoping Green Lantern will be good.
Well, hasn't it come out yet? Or
no.
Oh, okay.
I
didn't think the previews looked that good. But
they're doing some new previews. The thing I've discovered is previews lie so bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing how trailers for movies can market in a certain direction. And the funny one are the people who go back and change it that way. Like the ones that are out there, there's one that makes the original Shining look like this feel-good movie about a man and this boy discovering each other and coming to love each other as father and son. And it's freakishly well done. And I've discovered that for a lot of things. This movie is clearly marketed this way, and that doesn't mean that's what it's about. And when they originally were showing the trailers for Green Lantern, they were really sort of playing up the silly Ryan Reynolds angle.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a whole new set now that's really playing up the epic galaxy-spanning superhero aspect that looks cooler. I mean, it's still going to be a fun comic book movie. Basically, the two Batman movies and the two Iron Man movies are the only ones that I hold up distinctly. Everything else is in this sort of boiling pot of comic book superhero movies.
Well, the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man really, I thought, was pretty good.
Well, I can't do that, though. You know me and Spider-Man.
Well, yeah, right, but
I have issues with Spider-Man. As a concept, not that I have anything against it, and it's a neat thing, and Stan Lee, you're awesome. I personally can't stand Spider-Man because it sucks to be Spider-Man. And Spider-Man's life sucks enough that I don't even particularly enjoy watching it. Because it just sucks to be Spider-Man.
What about the Bryan Singer X-Men, you know?
The first two?
Yeah.
They were really impressive at the time. Since then, I honestly think the two Iron Man movies and the two Batman movies have taken it up a notch.
Yeah, raised the bar. Yeah, I'll agree with that. Well, I'd say that's even true in relation to the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's why they've got Nolan sort of advising on the new Superman movie. He's not directing it, but...
Oh, my God. You just reminded me of something.
What's that?
When I was babysitting, among other things I had to endure...
You discovered that they were from another planet and
no,
they had superpowers?
I had to watch episodes of the new series of Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh.
Yes. I'm still bitter over that. I haven't come back from it. But it had an Inception moment in it.
Hmm.
Strawberry fucking Shortcake had a dream within a dream. Poor little Apple Dumplin' wanted to help all the big kids make a cake, but she was too little and was getting in the way, so she fell asleep and had a dream that she was big and they had all turned into babies and she had to take care of them. And then in this dream, after all sorts of adventures happened, she and the babies took a nap. And in the nap, they had a weird musical number. But I was like,
oh,
dude, this is getting deep.
Did they time
for Strawberry Shortcake?
Did they time the kicks?
Did they time the kicks? Yes, as soon as the song ended, they woke up. It was perfect.
Oh, good.
And it was good, too, because they had put too much baking powder in the cake, and it made the whole house explode with cake.
But whose dream were they in?
I don't know! See? It was trippy, and for some reason, only one of the babies pooped, but did it twice in the dream.
Huh. There's probably some significance to
that. I think there is. Anyway, we are dangerously close to a half hour already.
Oh, wow.
So
my fault, probably, for going on about my week.
I don't know that that's why, but I just assume it is your fault.
Yeah.
Just because.
That's probably a good plan.
Okay. The hat has a bunch of new questions in it as well. We're kind of getting this class disparity thing. We got like 100 new questions, of which 90 are from like the same three people. So the rest of you should come out and play. Go ahead, draw something out of there.
We're always grateful for questions, and the hat is too, I think.
So much.
Keeps the hat happy. Dear Magical Talking Hat, is Tony pissed about the work generated by all those questions and topics? Speaking of, that's Blue Claw. Or
Azure Talon. He was Blue Claw before he went to art school.
After he went to art school.
Well, I'll put it to you this way. Fortunately, okay. If the email was my email account and I was forced to read all of these emails and write them on a little half of a 3x5 note card.
If that were the case.
I would get really annoyed by the particularly stupid or long rambling ones or ones that don't fit on a note card, and I would get a lot of writer's cramp, and yes, it would annoy the crap out of me. Fortunately, that's not what happens. People email a magical hat, and the hat magically puts the questions on 3x5 note cards, and we draw it out of there. So no, I'm not annoyed at all or pissed or anything.
No, why would you be?
Of course, it's all magic.
Right.
My hand hurts for unrelated reasons.
Magic takes all of the anxiety and work out of it.
The RSI diagnosis by the doctor did not take into account that I have a magic hat. So.
But of course, this question is being directed to the hat.
Yes, so.
I wonder what the hat would say to this question.
The hat doesn't talk, people.
We do.
It's a magical hat of talking.
Right.
It's not a magical hat that talks.
It sort of.
So when you actually ask
talk.
A question to the hat directly, all the hat can say is, so keep that in mind. But we will do our best to answer the questions. I believe the hat would feel that I am not pissed off.
It's interesting that the hat, basically you, the listeners, send things in to the hat, and it pretty much just relays it to us. The hat never shares with us any type of opinion or says anything to us.
Except insofar as the hat might be screening some questions. I don't know.
Could be. I mean, we don't know how.
And also, the hat shows an opinion in that the hat's the one that chooses what we draw out of there.
That's true. But that's it. So, that's the only way we can ever divine what the hat's thinking is by the questions that it gives us.
Some mysteries are too weak premised to solve.
Well, I wonder ever. What it means that the hat, maybe the hat wonders too, if, you know, because you complain a lot to the listeners, but you never complain to the hat. I don't know why the hat would care. It pretty much controls our destiny here.
I don't know that the hat does care about anything. You know, it's going to sound weird, but at this point, I'm actually a little bit wondering where Ezzy is. We've gone a whole half hour, and she's not made an appearance. It was a little freaky. Anyway, I probably jinxed it. Okay, new thingy.
New thingy.
Question. Topic.
Comment. Quemen. From the hat.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question. It's a comment. It's a comment. Sorry, that's the wrong show. You people would know that if you took my suggestions on things to listen to. Oh, God, it's another Azure Talon one.
Really?
Yes.
Excellent.
I think he may have wrote in a whole bunch.
That's okay.
Dear MTH. Dear Mth.
No, you just explained earlier at the beginning of the show that that stands for Magical Talking Head.
No, TMTH.
Oh,
the Magical Talking Head.
Oh, yeah, it's got to have a T.
This is the informal MTH.
Gotcha.
Can I call you MTH as your talent? Hat can't answer, so I'm going to speak for the hat. Yes, you can call the hat MTH as long as we can keep calling you Blue Claw. Because that just cracks me up.
Well, should it be TMTH, really? Or?
If you have some freaking respect and manners, if you weren't raised in a damn barn.
Yeah, yeah.
Amongst wolves.
Well,
wolf barn.
I'll just,
worst place in the world to raise kids is a wolf barn.
I'll just warn you, Azure Talon, that this is a magical talking hat. Magical. So we don't know what it's capable of. We don't know if it has a problem with you calling it this, but, you know, you might have some weird magical things happening to you if it doesn't like it.
So sleep tight and have pleasant dreams, you wolf barn raised freak.
Or just get your grandmother to make you a little charm to carry around. That's what I do. Because remember, I come from a backward and
hillbilly folk.
Yeah, hillbilly folk.
You know Cletus from The Simpsons? That was based off of William.
I don't even know who that is.
Some folk will never lose a toe, but then again, some folk will. Like William the Slack-jawed Yokel. A lot of singing in this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be the singing episode.
This is from Steven. When will the wind of change start to blow? Steven.
I'm too tired to make a flatulence joke here, people, so fill in your own flatulence joke.
I think the real question is, when will the wind of change stop blowing?
You're like that fucker from Mystery Men.
When you can balance a tack hammer on your head, you can...
No, he's the one that just switches the two words, you know? Like, when will the wind of change blow? The bigger question is, when will the blow of
right,
change
that,
wind?
That was one of those things. When you can balance a tack hammer on your head, then you can go in with a balanced attack or something. Like
that was right, yes.
Then why am I wearing watermelons on my feet? I don't remember telling you to do that.
Yes. I gotta watch that movie again.
When will the wind of change start to blow? Well,
oh my God! You know what this makes me think of?
What?
How much I hate John Mayer.
Why?
I didn't used to hate John Mayer, but then he started doing songs that pissed me off.
Like what?
Fathers, be good to your daughters.
Oh, what is?
Because it's just ridiculously sexist, the entire song.
Oh, is it?
It presupposes a lot of stuff, and especially at the bridge where it talks about that, like, boys can take a lot more shit than girls.
Oh, really?
And stuff like that, yeah.
Wow.
And there's no talk about, yeah, taking care of your sons. But then he went on to make a song called Waiting on the World to Change.
Mm-hmm.
The premise of which was that the young people of today aren't apathetic. We're just waiting for the world to change.
Well, what's that supposed to mean?
I think it means apathetic. I mean, seriously, it's a song about once everything's better, then we're totally going to do some shit. We will start a revolution after the revolution ends.
That doesn't make any sense at
all. He does these songs. I mean, and he used to do really sort of silly, pointless songs. Body is a wonderland.
I don't even know anything about
it. You don't know about Your Body is a Wonderland?
No.
Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Your Body is a Wonderland?
Yes. It's this extended candy store amusement park metaphor of a woman.
Oh.
Yeah. And his big first one about I want to run through the halls of my high school and scream about how there's no such thing as the real world. And they were kind of lame. But then he tried really hard to make songs that, I mean, I think his second album was called Heavier Things. Because it was supposed to be, like, deeper and more interesting and more of significance. But he just came up with, like, premises that sound good when you hear them to a beat for, like, 5 seconds. But then as soon as you stop and listen to them, they're really not.
Mm.
Fathers be good to your daughters. Like, it's a beautiful sign. Fathers be good to your daughters.
And of course,
daughters will love it. And girls become lovers who turn into mothers. So mothers be good to your daughters too. First of all, not a conclusion that makes sense. Second of all, why they all gotta fucking become mothers? You could raise lovely daughters that never become mothers. Huh? Oh my god, it just pisses me off. And then waiting on the world to change. Come on. And again, sounds catchy. Wait on the world to change. They're like, yeah. Wait, so we're just not doing anything until somebody else fixes it, and then we're gonna...
I guess.
Awful.
I don't know.
That's awful. So, yeah. Hope that answers your question, Steven. Whenever I hear Wind of Change, I always think about the damn whistling song by the Scorpions.
Yeah, I think of that Bob Dylan song. This is a very musical episode.
Hold on.
Wow, that's a tough one.
I'm traditionally an alto whistler.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, right.
Oh, to Bob Dylan. That's blowing in the wind.
No, I don't think he mentions wind blowing in the song necessarily. The times they are changing.
What song are we talking? Oh,
that just makes me think
I thought you meant the answer, my friend.
No.
You're talking about the times they are changing.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. I don't know any other part of that song. So there's no wind involved, though.
But things are always changing, of course. I mean, when is the wind changing?
No. Apparently, John Mayer will let us know when the wind of change is blowing.
Or when we should care.
He'll come up with a song, they did it, they changed the world. So, yes. I hope that answered. Steve Gerbic, who is our intercontinental listener.
Oh, is that right?
He is from Serbia.
Well, greetings.
Yes, the hat has
to Serbia.
A listener from Serbia. It's not as cool because I don't think we just got it. I don't think like we're a hit in Serbia. I think he's the Serbian listener of Happy Jacks. Happy Jacks has one Serbian listener, and so I think it's the same guy. But still, we very much appreciate you coming and listening and hope everything goes well in Serbia.
Does that put his question in a completely different light? I don't know.
It may be some sort of coded message. That
I don't know when the
wrong.
Wind of change will start to blow in Serbia. I don't...
Consult,
I don't know.
Consult your regional John Mayer equivalent for answers to that.
I'm sure that the winds are already blowing, even in Serbia.
Man, the urge to make a fart noise is just so strong.
Why don't you give me the hat so that we can avoid
it's
that?
It's my turn.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You pulled out the changing farts.
Thank you for the... question.
Thank
Steven.
You, Steven. We'll probably have more from Steven because he also sent a metric truckload.
Well, good.
And I say metric because that's what they use in Serbia.
It's great to have international listeners.
So much. Oh, Jesus.
Jesus sent us a comment or a question?
No.
I mean, the hat's powerful.
It's
I didn't
Blue
know it was...
Claw.
Oh. Okay.
Again.
Okay, Blue.
Dear Muth. Dear MTH, why should an email have a PS? Signed, Azure Talon.
That's an interesting question, really.
It's not.
Well, it is too, because...
No, you think it is, but it's not. I know why he wrote it.
Okay.
It's another Happy Jacks thing. People in Happy Jacks emails always put PSs. In fact, to the degree that I think it's starting to annoy the hosts of the show. There's always PSs, whether it matters or not. So it's become this, like, thing. So that's why he brought it up.
Right. But really, though, the PS was already kind of, you know, its original function was already sort of thrown out the window by, like...
The backspace key?
No, by marketing letters, you know? Like, every marketing letter has a PS at the end.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's like one of their little tools. You have the body of the letter... And then, you know, sign so-and-so. And then, P.S., don't forget, send $10 to blah, 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 blah. I mean, they all do it. It's like it's just standard in those letters. And so now people don't even, people think of a PS as something that you use, you know,
to emphasize a point
or something, or it's almost an artistic thing even sometimes for people.
I find it less weird that marketing letters use that than that you know that.
Well,
do you get a lot of marketing letters?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And you read them?
Oh, yeah, I read them. Because,
oh, my God, I may already be a winner.
No, it's not like that. It's more of a, I mean, I get them from lots of places, you know. Even places like National Geographic or
Hot Dog on a Stick.
Everywhere. So
Penthouse.
No, I don't get them from there. But
I love that you denied Penthouse, but not Hot Dog on a Stick. So you heard it, people. He gets marketing letters from Hot Dog on a Stick.
I don't even know what that means.
It's a chain.
Okay, whatever. It's
a food chain that serves corn dogs and lemonade.
Okay, well, I'll usually read
P.S.
them because
they call them Hot Dogs on a Stick, but they're corn dogs.
Okay, because I'm curious about, you know, what they have to say, how they're going to say it. And it's just interesting to notice that they pretty much, you know, probably all use the same few ad agencies. And so they write the letters in the exact same. And it doesn't matter. You'd think maybe the Smithsonian Institute or some, you know, the prestigious places would be sending you a letter that, you know, reads more like a letter or doesn't sound like it's just a blatant marketing propaganda thing. But they're all the same. It doesn't matter who it is. They're absolutely all the same. And they absolutely all have a PS at the end.
Well, you
sort of remind you to.
You should write them back and offer your services to write them a not shitty letter.
No, I don't think I could do that.
I could do that. You should write them back and offer my
services
to write them a not shitty letter.
Maybe. But
these people don't talk to me. I occasionally get people who send me little aluminum crosses on chains and they want me to send them $5.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Or special blessed nickels.
I've never heard of such a thing.
We run in very different circles.
I guess we do.
And I think my circles are slightly more annoying than yours.
Yeah, mostly I read them because I want to see if the places that are supposed to be more, you know, sophisticated actually have a different way of marketing their product than other people. But they don't. They all do the exact same thing.
Well, you know, it's probably not about being cool. It's probably about effectiveness.
Well, how would they know, though? I mean, is there a control or something? Do they send letters that aren't as ridiculous and stupid to a group of people and say, oh, gosh, those people didn't respond as well as these people that got ridiculous and stupid letters?
Yes.
No.
And unfortunately, there's also another
control
side of the continuum where they say, we'll take a small percentage of people and send them fucking blessed nickels and see what happens there. And I'm in that goddamn group.
No, I think that someone just says, hey, we got this return with these people, and we can do the same thing for you. And they say, okay, well, you know, what the heck. And they give them money. And, you know, I don't think they even realize what kind of trash is being sent out.
You know what I discovered in the job one time is kind of interesting? When a company hires somebody to do, like, a mass mailing for them and things, and they give them a file and they say, like, not one where you just say, send it to a bunch of people, but you say, here's a bunch of people, build us like this cool letter and send it out to them.
Yeah.
They stick something in there called seeds. And what it is they have a handful of people that actually work for the company but are under like sneaky different names.
Oh.
And they put those in there so that those people can confirm that they actually went out and that they actually don't look like ass. It makes sense, but I just never knew it until I had a job where we were doing that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I mean,
like, oh.
They pretty much all look like jerks. I mean, like that, like I said, the Smithsonian Institute, National Geographic, they all look
worse.
Like jerks when you get these letters. And they're signed by the president or whatever, and you're thinking,
oh,
to yourself.
Oh, that's a cheat. They just have a file with
his signature
on it.
And you're thinking, there's no way the president of the Smithsonian Institution wrote this, you know, sleazy letter, basically.
Supposedly Walt Disney hired an artist to create that famous signature for him. No, seriously, like, that wasn't his.
Oh, nice.
Like, normal one. He hired somebody to create one that looked all badass like that.
Well, I guess it looked okay.
Also, the artist probably wasn't Jewish.
Okay.
It's Walt Disney. I mean, come on. I'm not saying that a Jewish person couldn't make that signature. I'm saying Walt Disney wouldn't have hired them because he was sort of a famous anti-Semite.
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah. There's all sorts of weird stuff tied up in that. You never seen Song of the South?
Well, no, I've heard of it. What?
No, actually, it was earlier stuff than that, but there's a lot of background that, that some early films before people knew who he was and stuff were kind of scary racist.
Huh.
Yeah.
Didn't know.
Magical Talking Hat, Shattering Childhood Since 2011. Okay, we should get to another question.
Okay.
Your turn.
Oh, man.
I hope it's from Azure Talon.
I was just going to say, wouldn't that be great?
This is what our big decision is, whether to call this the singing episode or the Azure Talon episode.
And it is from Azure Talon.
Oh, my fucking God.
This is his night. Scott Schneider uncovers bizarre character mystery.
Oh, my God.
What? I don't get it.
It's because he wrote 12 paragraphs and a link in his damn question. So the hat, not me, had to summarize and hope that it came up in a point when which Tony would remember what it was. So there's this weird phenomenon that that guy, Scott Schneider, I guess, has discovered.
Snyder, I should say, not Schneider. Snyder.
Bless me. It's weird discovery in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
He got shots of... I'll try and link this in the show notes at the end, because it is weird for nerds. A bunch of comic books, different time periods, different characters, different publishing companies, different artists, different writers, different everything, all have the same two cops in them.
I don't follow.
There's a whole bunch of things that have these, in a scene that has police officers, there's these two police officers, and they basically, I mean, with variances for artistic style, are the same two guys.
But how? Because of, I mean,
that's the mystery.
But you say variances of artistic style. I mean, that pretty much. I mean,
no,
what,
but
are
it
they,
pretty much
standing exactly
well,
the same
no,
position.
They
or?
Both kind of look hipstery. One guy in particular has like red hair, and he has these big glasses, and he has a little like Shaggy-esque goatee.
Huh.
And he's a very skinny, kind of pale skin looking guy. I don't remember the other one. That's the one that stood out. But I mean, you can see it. I'll show you the thing later, and you can see it, and it's weird.
Huh.
And nobody, as far as I know at this point, nobody has figured this out. This was a while ago, because, as people are wont to do, they email the hat with current shit, not realizing it could be weeks or months before it comes up, and by then nobody may care anymore. But... so it's very weird, and nobody's quite figured out. And there's theories as to who these guys are, that, like, there are real-life people who are, like, famous in the comics world that they might be an homage to, but nobody really knows.
Huh.
It's weird.
But do you think they look similar enough?
I mean, Yeah.
That,
I think they look similar enough that it could still be coincidence, but it's a pretty creepy coincidence if it is. It's weird.
But you say there's two, not just the one that
no,
you could
No, two remember. Guys together.
Is it two guys together, or is it just that the one guy that's really recognizable is always with at least some other guy?
It's always the other guy and another guy.
And the other
and
guy
the other
has
guy
similar
also
characters.
Looks similar, but oh, okay. I don't know. I don't remember now. I didn't spend a lot of time on it because it's interesting more to people who read diverse comics. And I tend not to read diverse comics or read much superhero comics. I tend to read limited series because I don't like the shit that just goes on forever and ever, and I only like reading them in trade paperbacks anyway.
Yeah, I can sympathize
so,
with that.
So, the closest I get is like Ex Machina. I'll read that, which technically is a superhero comic, but it had 11 volumes and stopped, and that was good. These ones, like, I don't read anybody that they do a movie about, I don't read them.
Well, I was getting Batman for a while, and then I stopped. Just to see what that would be like, because I never subscribed to a comic book before. And I thought it was actually pretty cool, but, you know, eventually I probably got burnt out on it like like what you're talking about. After a while, it's like, okay, this is, you're recycling some of the old stories, and
I just go through
a patch where it's not interesting.
Well, yeah, and I like a sense of closure. Well, and honestly, I don't like starting stuff after the beginning.
Yeah,
and so that throws me a lot.
There's that, but also, I mean, Batman has kind of started over 1,000 different times.
And yeah, and that's weird to me, though.
And so, you know,
the closest I did is I did Hellblazer for a while, John Constantine, and I don't know that series is done. So technically, but it has a very distinct starting point,
okay.
And so that worked well. But even then, I kind of had the urge to go back and read the Swamp Thing ones, because that's where John Constantine started.
In Swamp Thing?
Yes.
Huh.
He was a side character in Swamp Thing, and then eventually got his own comic.
Didn't know that.
And I have wanted to go back to Swamp Thing, but Swamp Thing is tricky in that it has a distinct starting point. It has about 3 of them, and some of them go back a long way. So yeah, I probably could come up with a comfortable starting point, but it still feels weird. I really have this obsession with starting stuff from the beginning.
Well, I don't blame you.
It drives me crazy. But
when I started subscribing, I did kind of think, well, maybe I should get these back issues so I feel like I'm starting at some kind of beginning, you know. But you know, I started at the beginning of an arc. I did that much, but that's all I did. And really, there wasn't any reason to go back further, I don't think.
Okay. I think we got time for one more. Maybe more than one, but we'll see. Definitely one. You think this has to be the Azure Talon episode, then?
To be.
Oh, my God.
The hat seems to really like Mr. Mr. Talon.
Mr. Blue Claw. Fuck.
What?
Okay, this is officially the fucking Azure Talon episode. What is this, his 5th question?
Well, let me see. I think we have them all sitting right here. Here's 1, 2, and then Steve. Steven,
one,
sorry.
1, 2, Steve.
3, 4. So, yes, this is the 5th one.
This is 5. So, stalker of the show, Azure Talon, writes, Flava Flav fried chicken is gone. I am sad, but not surprised.
Help me understand this whole Flava Flav chicken thing. This was in Iowa, huh?
This was in Clinton.
Clinton, Iowa.
I will try and explain this to you.
And what happened, really?
Okay. Long, long ago, back in the day.
In a Clinton, Iowa, not far away.
There was a hip-hop group called Public Enemy.
Yeah, I know about them, sort of.
They had a little crazy guy who kind of looked like Peter Dinklage dipped in chocolate and then allowed to harden. Seriously, has weird skin that sort of covers his features. And he wore a big clock, and they called him Flava Flav. Probably because he tasted like chocolate Peter Dinklage. Okay, I'm going a little bit off here. Anyway.
What is wrong with you?
Later, Flava Flav became a reality TV star for people who had a really depressing and specific fetish, which is to date Flava Flav. During this time...
Really? A reality TV show?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He had 3 seasons of it. Flava of Love.
And it was about people dating him?
Yeah, it was one of those shows where, like, all these women show up and they get a chance to spend the rest of their life with him until he breaks up with them before the next season.
So, like, The Bachelor, but...
Yeah, but with Flava Flav. There were 3 seasons of this.
Seriously?
One of the women in this show got her own... Got... 3 spin-off reality series out of this based on her.
When did this happen?
Last few years.
Okay.
All post-millennial.
Okay.
Anyway, so while this was going on, when Flava Flav was a big deal again. Oh, wait, and he had a separate show because he got a reality show about dating Bridget Nielsen.
He dated?
Yes, he and Bridget Nielsen hooked up for a while, and it was so fucked up that they had their own TV show.
Wow.
I think they met up on the Surreal Life or something.
Okay.
Anyway, so Flava Flav suddenly is a thing again. And he apparently came out with his own brand of chicken wings, which were sold specifically at this Las Vegas restaurant owned by person number two. I don't remember his name, but he's a guy who opens restaurants, and he had one in Vegas, and you don't know him. If I told you his name, you'd never heard of him anyway, and had these chicken wings that were good. So, person number two and Flava Flav get this brilliant idea that they're going to start a chain, an empire, if you will, of Flav's fried chicken. And they opened the first one in Clinton, Iowa, because apparently that's where person number two is from. Hmm. And so they opened it. It was open for 4 months. Apparently Flav was there. A bunch of us planned to go, but most of the people that we date and or are married to refused. So we kept planning this road trip we were going to go. Apparently, there were issues. There were issues with the employees' checks bouncing. There were issues with Flav and person number two fighting over, I don't know what.
Payroll checks bouncing, you mean?
Probably, yes. There were issues with Flav apparently took his name off the thing a month before it closed, saying he wanted nothing to do with it anymore. And then after 4 months it closed. Most people I've heard that the chicken was really good. One or two places I heard the chicken was kind of nasty. So I don't know, but now we'll never know because it's closed. And we're sad because I totally wanted to go and eat Flavor Flav fried chicken. So are you clear now?
I guess, but what is so unsurprising about the fact that it's closed? I mean, who...
I think because the idea of Flavor Flav combined with eating is not considered appealing.
Okay.
Also,
but lots of famous people open restaurants.
Yes, but they're not as disgusting. Also, funny story. Opened next door to a KFC.
Yeah, I actually saw a picture of it, and I saw the Kentucky Fried Chicken right next to it.
Yeah. But mostly I'm going to guess that if you screw something up where all the paychecks are bouncing, you're going to have crappy service and or large employee turnover, which is going to make for crappy service.
Yeah.
But also, if your paychecks are bouncing, that might mean you don't have enough money to keep the place going, regardless of how successful it is. So, but as to not being surprised, it's Flavor Flav. He doesn't strike me as a savvy businessman.
Okay. Well, the other guy was
supposed to... He strikes me as Peter Dinklage dipped in a thick layer of chocolate.
Okay, but the other guy was supposed to be the savvy businessman.
He made the decision to open a chicken restaurant themed with Flavor Flav in Clinton, Iowa. How savvy can he be?
I don't know. I mean, I have no idea if something like that should be successful.
That is true, folks. William does not have any idea if something like that should be successful. Keep in mind, and be jealous, he had no idea Flavor Flav was ever on a reality TV show. That's how much he is a small child left alone in the woods to be ignorant of all the stuff that we hate. So while he is to be mocked for his ignorance... He is also to be hated for his ignorance because we're all jealous.
Okay.
But if you had William's problems, you might be William crazy too. This really would have been the singing episode if it weren't for fucking Azure Talent. Now it has to be the goddamn Azure Talent episode. Screw that. I'm calling it the Blue Claw episode.
Well, that'll teach him. I'm grateful for all his comments and questions. You can complain if you want to. But
thank you. I will.
I'll be grateful.
That's how this works. Gonna be our new theme song. I complain. I'm grateful. And we draw things out of a hat. Look, it's a chili dog.
What?
You gonna eat that chili dog? It's been in a hat. Yes, but it's a magical hat. Doesn't that mean it's clean? Not necessarily. No, 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 no.
Okay, do we have time for another?
No, I really don't think we
do.
Okay. I ate up all the time with that chili dog
great.
Bit.
Thank you that for sketch. That.
You could have jumped in it.
I just didn't even know what to say to that.
Okay, do you have anything new to plug? I assume this comic doesn't exist yet, this new comic.
No, it doesn't. And when it does, I'll let everybody know. It might be some time down the road.
In the event that my website sucks, William... Well, actually, you should probably adjust that. William has links to all the episodes on his blog.
Except
you should adjust that.
I started linking them just to the page because I realized, well, you have a lot of links to different ways to listen to it, so...
Yeah.
I don't even...
But have you linked it to the new page?
No.
You should do that.
Okay.
Because the old page isn't going to have any more after this episode.
Right.
And the old page may eventually go away. I don't know how that works.
Right.
Anyway, okay, he has nothing to plug. I don't really have anything to plug. Please check out the new website, try things out, mess around with it a little bit, see what you can do, make some comments. Got really active right before I moved it. I managed to transfer all the discussions over, so they should show up, but, you should come over, check that out, try and download some episodes from there if you want, check that out. Let me know what's good, what's bad. Suggestions. Once we've got a couple weeks gone by, and I'm sure like the transition has been made okay, I'm going to revamp the site because now I'm using the full power of WordPress and beautifulness, and so I'm going to try some new themes and stuff. Also been getting complaints about my shitty artwork. So if you guys want to submit new shitty artwork, feel free. I will try and put something on the blog about the size of banner things. I think it's 400 pixels by 198 pixels, and it should say the magical talking hat on it. So if people want to come up with other banner ads, we'll try them out. Maybe have people vote on them or something. In the meantime, always email the hat, please, for topics and questions. Your input is what makes this show. If you send us crappy questions, it's a crappy show. If you send us no questions, it's a no show. If you send us good questions, it is the height of... literature for your earballs.
And if only one person sends us questions, well, then it's going to be their
show. It's going to be their show, yes. If only we had some sort of way to illustrate that point. Jesus Christ.
Huh.
Okay, anyway. So email the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com and visit the website themagicaltalkinghat.com. And peace be with you and also with you. Just those two listeners, though, not the rest of you fuckers. Disregard the last hour and three almost. And good night.
Good night.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/Jay_Underberg. Thank you.